Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we praise and thanks this night and always. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, remind us that we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live only on your holy word. We live on you, the bread of life, and how we thank and praise you for your word that we hear, the sacrament we soon receive for forgiveness, life, salvation. Lead us always to be thankful, to praise you, to adore you. Give us now ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, friends, it is Thanksgiving Eve. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. But tonight, I'm not going to preach about Thanksgiving. Talking about Thanksgiving doesn't really produce sincere Thanksgiving. Giving bold commands from the pulpit, be thankful, people, doesn't make anybody really thankful. Giving guilt trips about being thankful when you really don't feel like it doesn't make anyone genuinely thankful. So what makes us thankful? Some pilgrims that lived back when. Our Congress, I think, that set aside Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Now I'm going to preach about the one who truly inspires Thanksgiving, and that's the Lord. And a preacher always preaches about the Lord. And as we preach about the Lord, how we then are compelled by the Holy Spirit and by Him to be thankful. Don't have to really say it. Don't have to encourage it. It just happens as it flows forth from the hearts of people. I want to use for a text tonight the great Thanksgiving verse from the Psalms. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures how long? Forever. And we are told in this verse three things about the Lord that would cause us to burst out, oh, give thanks. It's just spontaneous, it just comes out. Three things about the Lord that we're reminded of. First of all, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Stop there. The Lord is good, which causes overflowing thanksgiving. What do we mean, the Lord is good? Well, it means many things, obviously. The word means something of excellent quality. We know kind of what good means, something of excellent quality. Has no flaws, has no mistakes. It's excellent in every way. And certainly when we think of that to the Lord, we think of the Lord's perfect life, we may recall. I think we could also recall creation when the Father made everything good. Everything was good, everything was good. And still, even though corrupted by sin, creation is still in many ways wonderfully good for us in all these ways, food and drink and shelter and so forth. But specifically, we may think of the Lord's good life of 33 years on this earth. People, when they saw the ministry of Jesus, often reacted, He has done everything well. We finally have somebody who's good here on earth, who loves God and loves his neighbor. The idea is that we are evil, and we are. We're sinful to the core. And the whole world is evil, sinful to the core. And we see evil all around us, wars in the Middle East, and who knows where the next war is going to be, and trouble and hurricanes and more trouble, evil and wickedness all around us. And it can distress us, depress us. But then we look at Jesus. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Finally, somebody's good. Finally, somebody who's righteous. And we give thanks. He shines like a light for us. He's good. He was good to the sick when few people were. Good to 10 lepers when everybody else ran from them. They didn't want to catch leprosy. He was good to the tax collectors. Good to shepherds on Christmas. Good to the prostitutes and the adulteresses and adulterers. Good to the outcast and the lowly. He was good to his enemies, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Good to them too. He loved man and he loved God. He was good and perfect in every way. We recall that. And also the word good can mean something that's genuine, that's sincere, that's not fake. That we're often fakes. We can be faking tonight. As we sing and are here at Thanksgiving and smile and say Happy Thanksgiving, we all be a major fake. Where in our hearts we're grumpy and bitter and depressed and have little Thanksgiving at all, but we just need to act thankful because we're in church after all. And tomorrow with family, we got to be thankful because it's grandma and grandpa after all. We got to thank them for the food that I really don't like that much because it's grandma's food after all.
We fake a lot of things. We smile a lot. That's us. The Lord isn't a fake. He really is good to the very core of his heart and soul of who he is. He loves us. He's good, perfect, righteous. We thank him for his goodness, but there's a whole lot more. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, but it gets better. And his what? His mercy. Stop there. He's merciful? Someone can be very, very good, but not merciful. A lot of people that might be, quote, good, but they're not very merciful. The Lord is merciful, too. It gets even better for us. Even more praise comes out, because this God of ours, this Lord, is merciful. We immediately think of what? His cross. Think of him being good, 33 years of a perfect life of teaching and ministry and healing the sick, raising the dead, good. But then he actually goes to a cross. He's merciful. He dies for me. He dies for you. He dies for the whole world. He pays my debt. He reconciles me to the Father. God the Father through Christ does not count my sins against me tonight. Wow! I'm forgiven and redeemed and saved, for he is so, so merciful. And my eyes are on the cross. And I tell the confirmation kids this. I probably tell my own kids this. I tell myself this. If you're a grumpy person, and you're just crabby and grumpy and down and bitter and angry about life, you know, repent. You know, what do? Meditate on the cross for a while is what I tell people. You're not thankful? Look at a cross. After your Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, don't just sit back and watch lousy football games. Had enough lousy football here in Tennessee for a year, huh? Meditate on the cross. Consider what the Lord did for you and for me. We are unworthy, undeserving, but to hang 6 hours and be murdered and nails and spear and crown of thorns, to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? To cry out, it is finished. Wow, what a God I have. To love me that much, to forgive me. I may have many worries. I don't have to worry about my relationship with God, for in Christ I'm forgiven. I have many worries. I don't have to worry about going to heaven. In Christ I'm going to heaven. I know my future. I know I'm loved. What a God I have. And if the cross of Jesus, contemplating his death, does not move me to be thankful, nothing else will. It's the cross. Mercy. An illustration from Thanksgiving. Consider this. Consider you have your meal tomorrow and you make the turkey. And the turkey you make is very, very good. It's a delicious, plump, juicy turkey. It's just good. Everybody marvels. Well, look at that turkey, and they nibble. It's just so tasty. And I just can't wait to dig in. You make a good, good turkey, but every other relative makes something terrible. All right. Aunt Sally burns the corn. Uncle Bob brings pumpkin pie as burnt crust. He brings no whipped cream. What's pumpkin pie with no whipped cream? Come on. Somebody else brings that lousy cranberry sauce. Who eats that stuff anyway? Oh, I'm sorry, ladies. I know you do. And somebody else brings mashed potatoes. They're rotten mashed potatoes. And someone else brings the dressing. It's year-old dressing. They brought it out of their freezer from last year. A year-old dressing. It's all horrible. But your turkey's good. What can you do? You can go home with your turkey and say, bye, family. I'll go home and eat my turkey. Goodbye. You made a good turkey, but you're not very merciful. For what should you do if you have mercy? You share your good turkey with your family. With the dog, too, maybe. With the cat. You share your good turkey. And then if you're really, really merciful, you say to your family, you guys eat the good turkey, and I'll eat all the bad food. Who's going to do that in your family tomorrow if that happens? I know this won't happen in your family, but Busher family would never do that. I'll eat the bad food, the burnt food, the horrible food, and you go eat my good turkey. Just an illustration of the mercy of our God, who at Calvary's cross takes and ingests in his body, absorbs in his body all of our bad, filthy sin, our bad food, our evil. He takes it all upon himself and gives us his righteousness. He is good, not just to be an example for us. Here, look at how good I am. I'm going to take my goodness and go into heaven. Good luck being good. That wouldn't save anybody. Just like you having a good turkey and taking it home and eating it doesn't feed anybody in your home. The Lord at the cross gives us his goodness his righteousness, so that we are good in God's eyes too. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for I am good. Good through Jesus, righteous through Jesus. He takes my bad and gives me his goodness. And that's the mercy of God. And you eat of the real Thanksgiving feast tonight, the good, righteous body and blood of Jesus. And he takes your evil and your sins. That's mercy. Are you thankful yet? It gets even better. Third point. His mercy endures how long? A day. I'll take a day, God. A year, maybe. Maybe a month. Maybe 10 years he's merciful. Well, it'd be great if God's merciful 10 years. At least I get 10 years before I go to hell. How long is he merciful? Forever. And this, of course, makes us think of heaven. I think of his perfect life for me, his death on the cross, and now his resurrection, his ascension. He sits at God's right hand, and he will come again to take me to heaven. All this is in this little Bible verse, if we contemplate it for a while. His mercy endures forever. Heaven, the resurrection of my body, eternal glory forever and ever with all the saints, the heavenly feast I'll partake of forever and ever. Wow, all that mine through Jesus. Am I thankful yet? We're going to sing at the end of church hymn 895. Now, one of our great Thanksgiving hymns, Now Thank We All Our God. And I got a great little email passed on, I think, from Cheryl Hunzi to me. Maybe you got it. I think it came from maybe Wendy Slifka. The context of that hymn, 895, Now Thank We All Our God, written by German pastor Martin Rinkert in the 1600s. And during that time, there was war going on. People were being murdered, plague, disease, death all over the place. It is said that Martin Rinkert, in 1 year as a pastor, buried 5,000 people. 15 funerals a day. Death, misery, pain. And yet the man writes hymn 895, Now thank we all our God. We would probably say, now curse we all our God. Where are you, God? Death and disease and war? Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. Who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices. What's the wonderful thing God's done when there's death all over the place? 5,000 people dead. The wondrous thing is to give his son. The wondrous thing is Calvary's cross. The wondrous thing is the resurrection on Easter. And the wondrous thing is that these 5,000 people that died, if they were Christians, which I imagine most of them were, are now where? In heaven. They've conquered death and plague and disease and war. They're in heaven at peace with God. That's the wondrous thing God has done, that he must have preached thousands of times that year. Who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way is going to heaven with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. The Lord is good, friends. We give thanks. There's more. He is merciful. We give even more thanks. Gets better. His mercy endures forever. And so we give thanks, and we give thanks, and we give thanks forever, now and in paradise. A blessed Thanksgiving to all of you. Amen. Let's stand.